Today we hear a very interesting parable about this dishonest steward. He was basically squandering his master's wealth that he had been put in charge of, and he's found out. So he's going to lose his position. And when he finds that out, he steals even more money from his master by going to all the debtors and cutting all their debt, saying, if you owe my master 100, you only owe him 50, or you owe him 80. And he does that so that once he's fired and removed from his position, he'll have made some friends that he can go to who will take care of him. And so we have this steward who is, he's a thief and he's deceitful. And the strange thing about the parable is that the master commends him. And this has caused a lot of confusion throughout the ages. How come you have this steward who's a thief and he's deceitful, and yet the master's like, good job, you're doing pretty well? And the focus of the parable is not to promote theft or irresponsible behavior, and the steward's certainly guilty of both of those. But the reason why the master commends this steward is because of his foresight. I mean, he's conniving, but he thought ahead, and he was very crafty, and he made sure that he would be provided for after he got fired from his position. So basically, the master is saying that that's pretty clever, the way you're able to take care of yourself. And the main point when Jesus gets to the end of the parable is this. How often do people have incredible foresight and they make sure that they get ahead when it comes to things of this world? But the children of light, which would be us, those preparing for eternity, are not very clever in preparing for eternal life. You know, how come people, especially Christians, we know about the reality of eternity? How come we spend so much time and so much effort and we're so clever in terms of our job positions and making sure we're well trained to get a good job? When it comes to investing our portfolios so we have a good retirement, we spend a lot of time and effort in that, making sure our kids, whether it's sports, we make sure they have the best coaches and they get well trained, or if they're in extracurricular activities, we make sure they excel at those. We want them to get in the best schools. We're so clever in terms of getting ahead with worldly things. But are we that clever when it comes to eternal things? The answer to that is, most of the time, probably not. We don't put that much time and effort into getting ahead in terms of what matters to eternity. We don't have people trying to get in the doors of church late at night to come in to pray at Eucharistic adoration, or knocking on my door at all hours, hey, Father, I just need a confession, or can you bless this medal for me? We don't generally put quite as much effort into eternity as we do in terms of worldly things. And that's the point that Christ is making in the parable. And so I think a good question for us to ask as we reflect upon this is, what should we be doing to prepare for eternity? And the thing that the Lord highlights in the parable is actually almsgiving. We are all stewards. We've been entrusted with whatever money or possessions we have. Those ultimately belong to God. He's the one who created them. He created us. He made it possible for us to have those things. And all worldly possessions are going to be taken from us one day. We're going to lose all of them. So why not use some of what the Lord has given us and give alms? Give it to the poor. Give it to the hungry. Give it to the needy. And win friends for ourselves with worldly wealth, so that when we go before the Lord on the day of our judgment, there will be a whole crowd of people around that'll say, I was hungry and he fed me. I was thirsty and he gave me drink. Why not use our wealth and give it away? The Lord's given it to us. Give a portion of it to those in need. Win friends for ourselves with worldly wealth. And the more we want to be blessed in eternity, the better prepared we want to be for eternal life, give more in alms. Give more away. I think this foresight not only applies to almsgiving, but we can apply it to other things as well. Certainly obeying the Lord's teachings. If you take any of the commandments, attending Mass on the Lord's Day every Sunday, we know what's required of us. We know that it's required that we go to Mass every Sunday, every holy day of obligation. But how many people only go occasionally? Well, we know it's going to be required of us that we go every Sunday. If we haven't been going every Sunday, go to confession. Make a good confession, repent, and make sure we're at Mass every Sunday. If not, hopefully it's out of love of God, but if not for love of Him, at least be prudent. You know, at least know that that's the standard that we're going to be held to, so we should do it. And that applies to all the commandments, you know, not taking the Lord's name in vain, obedience to our parents, chastity, all of those virtues. And when it comes to our prayer life, have we gone to Eucharistic adoration? I'm sure there's a lot of Christians who never in their entire life have voluntarily gone to Eucharistic adoration. You know, imagine at the end of our lives standing before Christ, and it's like never once in my entire life did I go out of my way to come to church and spend any time in prayer with our Lord. You know, at least do it one time. At least be prudent and say, well, at least one time in my life I went out of my way and I came in the evening when I didn't have to and I came and visited you, Lord. You know, at least do it once. You know, at least be prudent about it. And so I think, that's the lesson from today's parable, is to have foresight, to look ahead and think ahead. And we live in a very materialistic culture, and so it's easy for us to conform to that and just get focused on short-term worldly rewards. But what I think, what I encourage each one of us to do as we reflect upon today's gospel is just to do a simple meditation. Imagine ourselves in eternity, 1,000 years into eternity, thinking back on this world. And ask ourselves the question, if we had it to do over again, what would we have done differently? How would we want to be different on the day of our judgment? What acts of charity would we have wanted to do? You know, what virtues would we want to have built up? How would we want to have lived our lives differently? And what are the things that in eternity are not going to matter at all that we spend all sorts of time worrying about? You know, do that meditation and think about what we need to cut out of our lives and maybe what we need to be doing differently so that we can be better prepared. So at the moment we leave this world and we stand before Christ for judgment, about to enter into eternity, we can be filled with good works and virtues. I encourage you to do that meditation. What virtues, with foresight, what virtues and acts of charity do we want to build up right now so that we're prepared for the day when we stand before Christ and prepare to enter eternity?